And if you have been journeying with us, we are continuing on in this scripture. And I ask you to kind of keep 1 Peter chapter 2 on your minds and to continue to read that. We're not going to read it today, but that's kind of the base of what we're looking at. And so I want you to grab your Bibles and turn to our scripture for this morning, which is Luke chapter 5. We're going to actually go further than 6, and we're going to go all the way through 11. So once you have that, if you would, please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Remember a couple of things before we start. This is early on in the ministry of Jesus, and there are two different scenes happening here. And so keep that in mind, that there is Jesus ministering to people, then there are people fishing, and they collide together. And so starting in verse 1, on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake, and I can never say that right, and he saw two boats by the lake. I want you to remember that. He saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, now here, just, this is Jesus. He decided to get in one of the boats. Is it his boat? No, technically no. We're going to say that it isn't, but you're going to learn that it is. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. So picture this. The people are pressing in on him. He has no way to speak to everyone constructively so that everyone can hear. So he jumps in a boat, and he says, take me out a little bit so that more people can see and hear the message of the gospel. And then when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put on into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we are toiled. What does that mean? Have you ever been tired before? That's where they were at. They were out all day. Then they listened to Jesus' message. So remember, some time has passed here. So they've been out all day, probably before daybreak. And now they've listened to Jesus. And now Jesus is saying, now I want you to go back out. And Simon Peter says, we are tired. We are toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying this, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish, and they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. God, we just ask right now that you would speak to us. God, use these words to challenge us. God, to transform us, to renew our minds, that as we go out today, we would be different, we would be changed, and we would be humbled before your presence. God, we see Simon Peter humbled before your work. God, let us be humbled before you. And we ask that you keep the enemy from us in this place, our minds, our thoughts, and our hearts. And God, we pray today that you would empower us with your word and your presence and your spirit. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Well, let's look at the background here, okay? So we get it. They were crowding in to hear the gospel. I think it is so encouraging when you look at the life and ministry of Jesus is that people were always trying to get to Jesus. They wanted to hear his message. They saw it as something new. It was bright. It was light. And they were pressing in on him. So as this scene is going, there are thousands of people pressing in on Jesus, and then we have this other scene, which is Simon Peter and his friends and his co-workers, and they were what? They were out fishing. The two, okay, had nothing to do with each other, meaning this was happening and this was happening, and Simon Peter was exhausted. His friends were exhausted. They had worked all day long, and nothing came of their labor. But see, here's the thing. Nothing came of their labor until the Savior came in, and then all of a sudden, their labor was worth it. Jesus also, and here's what is so interesting, and I want you to get this, okay? Jesus looked and eyed for resources that came from man. Think about it. I don't think we often look at this event and say, well, Jesus was after the resources of men. He was. He needed a way to get to speak to the people. Now you say, well, wait a minute, Jesus could have just stood on the water and spoken on the water. He could have, yeah, but you know what? Sometimes he wants to use us. He wants to use resources. He wants to speak to a willing people. And so that's kind of the setup here of the scripture. Most of us are well aware of that. Let's go back to what it means to be a living cornerstone. Well, we have to know that Jesus partners with people. We like to often say, well, Jesus has the on a hill and Jesus is able to, and that's true. But guess what Jesus wants to do? He wants to partner with you. He wants to be with you. He wants to use you. He wants to enact his people. And see, church, if he's not using you, then he's not really with you in the way that he desires. He has a way, he has a desire that desires to be and move and experience life with us. So he partners with people. And as we partner with him, we become more of a living stone, meaning we embrace more of him. We become more alive. I think that most of you that have been in Christ for a long time and our elders in the church, you should be more alive than anybody else. Why? Because you've been walking with him down the road for a lot of years, and he's been using you and showing things to you and revealing to you. Being a part of a living cornerstone requires obedience. It requires us to have obedience. If you look at what's happening here in this event, Jesus kind of just decides that he's going to, and he wants Simon Peter to just go along with it. He really doesn't give him an opportunity to go back and forth to question. If we just allow the living cornerstone to be the living cornerstone, things would and will be different. But see, what we do is we put self into it, and we say, I'm the living cornerstone. I'm alive. I understand. I'm going to put in my... Jesus really didn't give space for that here, and we're going to have some fun with that in a second. And he's always scanning resources. See, I think that we think we've been gifted so that we can be gifted for our family and for our children and for our... No, so you've been gifted because everything points back to the kingdom. All that you are, all that you have, all that you tend to be or want to be or desire to be is because of Christ. And he wants to use the resources. I want you to think about this here for a second. There's a collision, and each week we're going to talk about the collision. So next week is the last part of this, and we're going to move into Easter. Can you believe it? But there's a collision here. There's two things happening, and we see here that Peter was a little reluctant. Peter was trying to say, well, wait a minute, we've been out all day. Well, wait a minute, why are you in my boat? Reluctance should always give in to obedience. Have you ever been reluctant when God has called you or asked you or spoken to you? You should say yes, because if you haven't been, then you haven't really been challenged in the faith, because I believe that Jesus is a big God, and he moves in the footsteps of the Father, and when you move in the footsteps of those big footsteps, then Jesus is going to call you to move in some pretty big footsteps. But we have to know, and I hope you can write this down and remember this, reluctance should always give in to obedience. You can be reluctant, just don't let it lead into disobedience. See, many of us are reluctant. We start the pros and cons list, and before you know it, our reluctance turns into disobedience. See, Jesus is looking for a spirit that will try for God, no matter the obstacles. Think about the plan here. The authority of Jesus, when a person allows the authority of Jesus to enter in, we recognize that we desperately need him. See, the problem is I don't think that we in the American church are that desperate for Jesus. It's just the truth. We find ourselves relying on ourselves, relying on our talent, relying on our family, relying on our gifts, relying on the things that we learned in school, and we find ourselves not really needing the authority of Jesus because we're sensible, good people. But see, sensible, good people go right to hell. Sensible good people don't pay their tithe and think they're going to get into heaven. Sensible good people think that if they don't ever serve, but they're in church every week, that they're going to go to... It's just not the truth. Now that's holiness preaching if you didn't know it. See, God is drawing us into his presence. And if we want the living cornerstone to be our cornerstone, then we have to understand and be desperately seeking the presence of Jesus in our life. But see, the problem is there's always an authority clash. Our authority and our will versus the will and authority of Jesus. So I want you to get into the mind of Simon Peter here, or better said here, Simon. Let's get into his mind for a second. Peter's mind said what? There were no fish. I want you to interact with me today, okay? There were no fish. What else did Peter's experience say? Well, that there were none. Meaning not only did his mind say that there weren't any. Have you ever been in that place with Jesus where your mind is saying, well, Jesus, there was nothing there. And then your experience says, well, Jesus, I've been there before and nothing came about because of it. You ever been there before? Come on now, I think we all have. We've been there with kids, family, friends. Why do you want me to work on that person more every time they turn their back on the Lord and it just doesn't seem to? Every time they make the same decision, every time they go back and do the same thing and they never seem to get ahead. Why are you calling me back there to minister to them again? We've already been there. My experience says we've already rode this boat with them. So Peter's experience is, Jesus, I was out there all night and all day long. So all of a sudden, what Jesus is calling Peter to do, and I want you to get this, it is going against Peter's mind, it's going against his experience, and it's also going against his body. Have any of you ever been to where your body just is saying no, and Jesus is saying, I will give you? And so here we've got Peter's mindset. He's like, Jesus, I was actually out there, and there was nothing out there. And so everything that I'm thinking is opposite of what you're saying. I think that we as Christians land there a lot. So hold on to that authority clash as we go along here. So here's what's so funny is that he needed a vessel. He needed a way. He needed a way to be able to speak to the people. They were crowding in on him. And I don't think that we kind of picture these things logistically. When it says he's crowding in or the people are crowding in, what were they doing? He didn't have bodyguards. He didn't have people that stopped the people from getting into him. They just kept pushing and pushing and pushing, and I don't know where they started, but if you studied, they started far away, and if you get it, he is now at the shoreline. He's basically being chased. And why do you think he was being chased? Well, people wanted him to heal them. Like they wanted some action. They wanted some movement. They wanted Jesus to, and Jesus was what? He was trying to share the message of the gospel. It was not just about healing. So he looked around, and he saw the resources, and he found that there were two boats. He saw two boats. They belonged to Simon. Now, there wasn't a conversation. There wasn't an agreement. There wasn't, well, let me know. Jesus just got in the boat. I don't think we look at this very often, but I want to give you kind of the same example. What if today we decided to just kind of go out into the parking lot and decide which vehicle, because some of you got some nice vehicles, right? And we decided which vehicle we wanted and we just got in it. Wouldn't you love that? And then you come up to the door and say, hey, what are you doing in my car? And you say, well, aren't you a part of AFC? And you say, well, yeah, I am. And you say, well, you're a pretty generous person, so I'm gonna take this. Right, wouldn't you say? Because AFC is pretty generous. But this is what's happening here. Jesus just gets in a boat. Church, he doesn't make an agreement. He doesn't say, all right, can I lease this for a while? Can we get into it for? No, he just gets in a boat. He sees two. He gets in two. There's no agreement. He needed a vessel. Jesus needs a vessel. And you are it. At this moment, Jesus needed a boat. And sometimes Jesus needs your boat. Not always. I love this too. It just says he gets in the boat and he sat down. Don't you love that? I'm going to get out in one of your cars. I'm going to go find the best one out there when I'm done here. And I'm going to decide to just sit down in it. And I don't know what you're going to say to me, right? Because I just preached this. So how can you say get out, right? Because Jesus said. So let's not try that at home though or here at AFC. I'm just kidding. Especially don't do it at Walmart. But anyway. Jesus just sits down into a boat which is owned by Peter. And Peter was impulsive. He was loud. He was bold. He was a little bit aggressive. There were multiple times we see that he was pretty aggressive. And Jesus doesn't care about any of that. He just sits in the boat and decides that today I'm going to use this boat. Now, I want you to think of something. There were two boats. Now, here's what I want you to get today as you go out. Peter, as you see, or Simon, you see that he does say, okay, you can sit here. You can do what you need to do. I'm going to sit and I'm going to listen. I kind of picture Peter dozing off a little bit. Those that were out on the boat all day, they were listening to him and they were kind of dozing because they didn't really get what he was saying. He gave a whole sermon. He actually preached to all the people, and then they said, let's go out and get some fish, drop the nets, and then Peter argued with him. But I think Peter kind of wasn't in tune to what was going on with Jesus. It's why we see a great confession out of Simon here. But I want you to see that Jesus could have done a lot of things. He could have done a lot of things. He could have done a miracle. He could have stood on the water. He could have, but he didn't. He looked at Simon and looked at his boat and said, I need a boat. I'm going to go just sit in my boat. And I want you to get this. There was a second boat. Church, some of you are in the process. Some of you have already. Some of you are going to make decisions where he's going to go to the second boat. And you still have the boat. You'll still be able to fish. The enemy will make sure that you're provided for. But Jesus will have to go to the second boat because you're not willing to, because your reluctance turns into, because your attitude bleeds into, because you're, you fill it in. The scripture doesn't say two boats for no reason. The scripture tells us that Jesus had a choice, and he chooses you. He chose Simon. He chose him to be a part of. Jesus desires you to be a. But see, some of you go for the good instead of the best. And then we never really experience the fullness of who Jesus is. Jesus could have defied the laws. But instead, and so I want you to think about these three things when it comes to being chosen. Jesus wanted his boat. He also wanted all that Simon Peter was. A bold, strong-willed, kind of violent, interesting dude. Bold enough to say, hey, you know what? We didn't make it, Jesus. And even though you just preached, even though the people pushed on you, even though I've heard you've done miracles, it's not going to happen. But again, Jesus chooses you. He wants to use your experiences, your abilities, your talent, your giftings, your background, your upbringing. Well, many people ask, well, why in the world did Jesus choose Simon, such a unique character? And he really is. If you understand him, he's a unique character, kind of opposite of who Jesus was. He was kind of the peaceful, just let's move along and let's, and you know, guess what, church? He chose Simon because he had a what? He had a boat. But we want to make it so complicated and say that he had a boat and Jesus needed to. But then I realized something as I looked through this, because most of you theologians would say, well, that's not true at all. It's not. But in the moment, Jesus needed a boat and he used it, right? And this is the beginning of what we get to see about Simon. But I want you to get something here, that Peter needed Jesus' blessing on his boat. He had a boat. There had probably been some success, but currently there wasn't any success. And guess what Peter needed? He needed Jesus. Guess what you need? You need Jesus. And he's looking to you and saying, I choose you. Yes, Jesus needed a resource. Yes, Simon had it. But most of all, Simon needed Jesus. Most of all, Simon needed the presence of Jesus in his life. See, many of us are living fulfilled lives, but we're not living the fully fulfilled life. Many of us are living in a facade that isn't fully fulfilled by Christ. Many of us are seeking things that he's not called us to seek. Here's another thing, and I want you to get this. And this is when I talk about your chosen status. Church, Jesus can go to the next boat. You say, well, he's always there. He is. But I promise you that when he comes to you and says, this is the time, this is the hour, this is the full opportunity, this is when you need to, if we step in that time, it's a better time than when he comes back around. Because guess what? They moved on from here, right? Had Simon said, not today, don't want to do it, get out of my boat, I'm done. Yeah, I think Jesus would have gotten back to him. Yeah, I think Jesus gets back to us, but it's not the same plan. It's not the same way. It's not the same fulfillment. It's just not the same. He comes. And I think all of us could think or scan back in our life when Jesus has come and we've said, you know what, I'm going to take the good instead of the best. And the good produced good, but it didn't produce the best. Sometimes we choose the not so good, and it turns out to be not so good, and it continues to be not so good. And then we say, why Jesus if I'm chosen? And then Jesus says, well, I was there, and you weren't. We're chosen, but guess what? Peter had to choose back. Jesus wasn't forcing him, even though it seems like it a little bit here, because he just got on the boat and sat down. But we have to choose back. Something else that I thought was interesting, and I actually was really fascinated by what a bunch of different theologians said, and that was, is the way Jesus spoke it. He said, actually, no, it's mine. I created the wood that you created that into. You get that, right? The wood that you're sitting around, had the Lord not created the materials that we use, guess what we wouldn't have? The materials to use. God was so gracious that he created things that he knew we would need to build. Look around you. The pews you're sitting in, they're wooden with cloth. All things that God created. And Jesus said, I actually created and birthed the wood that... Don't you love that? And you say, well, that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't when you're living in the enemy's fulfillment. It doesn't when you see those things as fulfillment. But see, what Jesus was saying here is that I spoke everything into existence. So if I want to sit on a boat that I created the wood to be able to create it, then I'm going to sit in the boat that's technically the creator's. What does the scripture say? Through him, all things are made. Through him, all things are made. Church, aren't you glad today that through him, you have been made? And that through him, you've been created in such a way that he wants to draw you in to his best. So why? Well, don't you think Jesus is a great fishing partner? Actually, he did pretty good throughout the Bible in fishing. Whenever he fished, what happened? People came, right? If you want to start really fishing, get with Jesus and he's going to... If you really want to change your life, get with Jesus and some fish are going to come. Some things are going to happen. Some change is going to be produced. But keep living out your stale Christianity and nothing's going to happen. Keep living out your lack of faith. Keep going and saying, my reluctance tells me that my mind, experience, and body says no, so I'm going to go with that. Because Jesus knows where the fish are. Now, I don't want to get too theologically deep today, but in this, the fish represent a lot of things. It represents food. It represents sustenance. It represented his livelihood, meaning it was Simon's livelihood. Here's what I love a lot about this, and you need to get this. Peter was humbled. Why was he humbled? He should have been excited. He was humbled because guess what Jesus did? And this is where I think Jesus is a little funny. We don't like to think like this. But Jesus made it so that there were so many fish coming onto the boat that the boat began to sink. I think that's kind of, it makes me chuckle because Jesus said, you didn't think that I could? Well, let me show you that I can. And it got so bad that Peter actually fell to his feet and said, oh, Lord, I am not worthy. Imagine if we started falling to our feet. Because we witnessed and experienced the abundance of what God has for us. But see, the problem is when you're going for the good and not the best, when you're letting him go to the second boat instead of staying in your boat, you don't get to live that out. And then you live a life that is a life full of mediocrity. And I just don't believe that that's the case. Something as I thought about this, you know, God has really challenged me to logistically look at my upbringing compared to my kids' upbringing and the changes that I believe that God wants me to have in my home. And as I've done that and been willing to admit to my faults, been willing to admit to the things that I saw my dad, and now I'm telling you that as I'm teachable, as I'm trainable, our home is just a lot of fun. And I'm not saying that to gloat or to say, you know, those of you that are struggling through parenthood, I'm sure I'm going to get there, and there are days that it's like that. But I'm telling you, there is a great joy when you can live in Christ. And when he can say, here's the best thing to say, here's the better thing to, here's the, and you start listening to that, your home is different. It just is. I'm living proof of it. The home I had 10 years ago with Ashley is not the home we have now. Why? Not because of her, not because of me, but because I put Jesus first. And so, yeah, I do enjoy being with my kids. Yeah, I do think it's great joy. Yeah, I can't even think about them going away to college because I get worked up and they're young and I shouldn't think about that, but I'm crazy and so I think about everything. And so, but I'm telling you that as you experience the fullness of Jesus, your actual home, your life, your peace, your mind is just different. And you know what? Give Jesus a chance and he's going to start sinking your boat. But you know what? A lot of things have to move out of the way so the fish can move in. Are you with me here? See, Simon had to get out of the way so the fish could get into the boat. He had to call other boats, right, to come and get the rest of the fish, and they started to sink too. Does that describe your walk with the Lord? It should. And I think as a church, and I don't mean this church, but in general as Christians, we've not lived like that. Jesus knows. And just think about a fish. And for Simon, all it meant money. It meant he'd be able to sell at the market. It meant that he'd be able to provide for. It meant that his workers would be paid. It meant that he would have. It meant. It meant more and affected more than just Simon. You never know what God will do until he's in the boat. And some of you, he's not in the boat. He's got a leg in the boat, and he's holding on to the side of the boat, but you're keeping him there so he doesn't actually get in the boat. See, we truly understand our chosen status when we let Jesus on the boat. Now, tonight in small group, you're going to go through these things, and so I'm not going to step on them too much. But as we close today, I want you to think about these statements. Jesus sees people that need to hear the gospel. He seized resources. He removed reluctant obedience. He demonstrated godly power. He stirred a deep confession. He challenged men to be about discipleship. And he also asked them to forsake all. Because at the end, Simon was so humbled, that he left it all and followed the Lord. Most of you have so much stuff on you that you follow him, but you don't follow him in this way. Think about Peter's confession. And this is where I really want you to... Jan, do you mind playing today? Would that be too much, just playing anything? Church, there's a lot of meaning in this passage that you've got to get. Because I think the church does not feel or sense a deep confession to the Lord. Peter was driven to his knees with a deep confession on his heart. Peter's confession was deep. Is yours? Think about it. Peter's confession was deep. It was so much so that he said to the Lord, I'm not worthy. Are you living daily saying you're not worthy, or do you think you're worthy? I promise you every day I realize I'm not worthy. And I say, Lord, I can't believe you're doing this because I'm not worthy. So is your confession today deep? Is it in direct relation to unbelief? Are you living in unbelief? Do you allow the Lord to move and then all of a sudden you go back and say, you know what? This can't be for real. This can't be true. This can't be reality. Is there somewhere right now in your life where you're saying, I just can't believe that part of who Jesus is? Peter's confession was focused on Jesus as his now master. Is Jesus like really your master? Ask yourself. Or are there other masters that are just, and Jesus has his hands on the side of the boat. But church, there's another boat coming up the way. And he's very likely to go to the second boat. Because who wants to hang on the side of a boat, right? Do you want to? Do you want to go home and hang on the side of a boat and hope that you get in? No. See, it's not about Jesus not wanting you. It's about you not wanting all of him. Peter's confession brought about a fear and reverence for the Lord. I thought about this statement. The greatest thing in the church in this day that I don't think was in the church when I was growing up was that we've lost the fear of God. Y'all should be afraid. I don't know if you are or not, but I promise you, when I begin to think and let that reluctance step into my reality, it's something weird. I can't explain it. I get afraid. Why? Because I know I'm beginning to move outside of the will of the Father. And when he's in the boat next to me and not in the boat with me, I'm only able to glean what's over there. Church, we have to start fearing the Lord. When you decide to be nasty, when you decide to, you fill it in. You better get on your knees. Peter's confession was deep. And it was full of fear. Because he realized that Jesus was like for real. He realized that Jesus was the Messiah. What we get to do is glean from all of this. We also get to have the Holy Spirit with us. And so I guess the question is, do you fear the Lord? Do you fear that separation? I'm not saying live in fear, but what's funny is Jesus talks a lot about fear. The disciples talk a lot about it. But see, Jesus tells us not to fear the world, not to fear rejection, not to fear all the things that we fear in the world. He directs us to fear God. But see, it goes back to, is your confession towards the Lord deep, convicting? Does it run through all of who you are? Or does it run through part of who you are? Think if we as a church, if we as a people, we as believers, if his conviction would run deep, our lives would be different. Our existence would be different. So let's pray. I don't know. The altars are open. Maybe you just want to come and just throw your unbelief at the altar. Maybe you want to come and say, you know what, Jesus, I don't have a deep confession. I mean, it's surface level. It doesn't go very deep. I'm living your faith in a surface, scratch level. Maybe you just need to say, Jesus, I want you to be master of all. Because I promise you today, there couldn't be this many people and every one of you be living out Jesus as the master of all. Some of you are the master of a lot of things in your life. And you better let the master come into that before the master meets you. That's just me speaking strong. And out of my own personal convictions, I'm not sharing with you somewhere I haven't or am not. I also think that we need to get a better reverence for the Lord. And it doesn't come through coming to church or doing the right things. It comes from a deep recognition of how far we are from him without him. Jesus doesn't want you to live good He wants you to live in the best. And Peter saw that right away as the boats began to sink because of the abundance of the Lord. And it was Jesus saying, you didn't believe, well, let me show you. Why don't you try today and just step into it and say, okay, Jesus, I want you to show me. I'm ready. I want to. Let's go. Why don't you just bow your heads and the altars are open. Maybe one of these prayers is the prayer today that you need to just lift to the Lord. God, we just come before you today. And God, we thank you for this example that you give us in the Word. It's a tremendous reminder. It's really a tremendous look at what it means to have you with us or outside of us. It's also a great reminder of how much you desire to partner with us. That's a gift in itself. That's a blessing in itself. That the creator of creation desires to be with us, to partner with us. Today, God, we just pray that you would penetrate our hearts, that you would let us see what it means to have you fully a part of our lives. We ask today that you would give us this same conviction that Simon has, this deep conviction that causes a great confession, a great humility, and a great humbleness to fall over him. Lord, let us fall into that same humbleness. Let us fall into that same humility. God, let us embrace that. God, let us not be the people that say to Jesus, well, there's another boat. We'll watch you from our boat if you're over there. So today, let us be a people that don't let you pass us by. Continue to move and challenge us. Challenge our hearts to receive you today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much for being here. I hope that you'll join us for Sunday school.